Well, this morning, I'm beginning a brand new series entitled The Prize. The Prize. Now, what I'm talking about when I talk about the prize, I'm talking about heaven. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm pretty jazzed. I'm very jazzed, in fact, about this sermon series or teaching, whatever you want to call it. Heaven excites me. The potential and the opportunity to go to heaven, which the Bible does refer to as a prize. I'm excited about it. I hope you get excited too. And I think by the time we're finished today, you'll be a little more motivated to press on and continue to do the will of God and realize there is something at the end of life that's worth attaining. Amen? One of the things that we're going to do in this teaching is we're going to discover some things about heaven that I believe are very important. And something else we're going to do, we're going to eliminate certain myths about heaven. You know, there are myths about heaven that just simply aren't true. Now, some verses that I want to read to you are found in Philippians chapter 3. If you have a Bible and want to turn there, I certainly welcome you to do that. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. And these are the verses that God used, along with my friend Don Dawson, to really be inspired to preach this series. But this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church there in Philippi. And he says this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13. I'll begin and read verse 14. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it. But I focus on this one thing." Here's what Paul is focusing on. He's forgetting the past. And all we could preach on that a little while this morning. And he said, "I'm forgetting the past and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead." Here's what he says in verse 14. "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God," listen to this, "through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Now, I don't want to use all my enthusiasm and anointing here in the very beginning of this service, but I want to tell you, I'm motivated to press on, and it's because Christ is calling us. I hope you sense this morning the calling of God to press on. I pray if you don't now, you will by the end of this service, that you sense there is something in this world and in this life that we need to press toward, and it's the prize. Now, you may think that's unholy to refer to heaven as a prize, like we're going to the, you know, what was it, the Cracker Jacks and getting the prize. But I'm sorry, I think of heaven as the ultimate prize. And I'm going for that prize, and I'm pressing. And I'm going to reach the end of this race, and I'm going to receive, and I believe you are too, the heavenly prize for which God has called us all to. Now the prize, which is heaven, the ultimate prize, needs to always be kept in our minds. And I hope you'll understand this. That is always in my mind. You know, when temptations come, and they do to all of us, you know what's in the back of my mind? Heaven's in the back of my mind. I don't want to do anything that will cause me to get disqualified in this race or miss the ultimate prize, which is heaven. And it's always in the back of my mind. And not only is it in the back of my mind to help me conquer temptation and be a motivation to me, but I'll tell you what, it's there to motivate me, to press me forward in life, and to realize that I'm not here to please myself, that I am here for God's purposes, and I'm here for humanity's purposes. And the ultimate goal, folks, listen, if you cut through it all, let me tell you why we're here. The Bible says that we're here to love God and to have a relationship with God, and then we're to take that relationship, please hear me, and then we are on a daily basis called to minister to our fellow man. That's why we're here. People say, "Why am I here? Where do I need to work?" You don't need to be worrying about where you work. You need to be worrying or concentrating, not even so much worrying, about your relationship with God, building a daily relationship with God, and then letting that overflow into the people around your life. The ultimate goal is to get people in heaven. I love the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Listen to this. And I'm going to read these verses again a little later for a totally different purpose. John 14, verse 1 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Folks, I know that there's a lot of trouble in our world today. I know that and I'm aware of it. And there are a lot of troubled hearts. I have to battle allowing that temptation to get a troubled heart. But Jesus says, "Let your hearts not be troubled." He said, "Trust in God and trust also in me." And here's the ultimate prize of the goal that he says, you're going to have these troubles, you're going to have these problems, but don't worry about them. He says this, because in verse 2, there's more than enough room in my Father's house. He says, "If it were not so, would I have told you that?" But "I am going to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am." You know what? Once we've been born again, you know where God wants every human being to live? With Him. And don't you dare for a moment sit here in this service in a pity party thinking about your poor, pitiful life when you realize that there is a God who sent His Son and He died for you and He's coming back to get you because He wants you to be with Him for all eternity. We ought to give God a big praise and we ought not to have a pity party this morning because I've got some good news for you. Now, the sense that we will live forever somewhere has shaped every civilization in human history. For example, the Australian Aborigines pictured heaven as a distant island beyond the western horizon. Mexicans, Peruvians, and Polynesians believed that they went to the sun or to the moon after death. Native Americans believed that in the afterlife, their spirits would hunt the spirits of buffalo. In the pyramids of Egypt, the embalmed bodies had maps placed beside them as guides to the future world. Now, although these depictions are different, and I could read to you many others, there's one unifying testimony of the human heart this morning and throughout history, and that is a belief in life after death. Paul said, if we don't believe in life after death, if we don't believe there is something beyond the grave, he said, we are of all people to be pitied. He said, if there's nothing after this life, he said, eat, drink, and be merry, and go do whatever you want to, and when you die, then you just go in the grave, and that's it. I hope that you have not bought into that demonic lie. Oh, hey, when you die, you die. Come on, listen, I feel some preaching me today. Brother, let me tell you something. When you die, you won't believe that. And there's nothing macho about sitting around saying, "Oh, when you die, you die. I'm just going to do my own thing here in this life." No, I'm going to tell you, when you cease breathing your last breath, let me tell you, you'll say, "I probably should have listened." And I don't know why it is God's speaking to me today right now. Somebody, you're just in a little pity party here this morning. And I don't know who you are, but you need to get out of it because you're not going to hear what I'm going to say today. And ultimately, you're going to miss a lot of good things that God has for you. No glory in pity partying. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know. No, I probably don't, but Jesus does. And He wouldn't be inspiring me this morning to challenge you to get out of that pity party. Listen, life's hard. Life's challenging. That's the reason that I'm preaching this series, to let you know you're going to have trouble. But yes, there is something well beyond this life, and it's going to come sooner rather than later. Amen? Now, the early Christians had a preoccupation with heaven as well. The Roman catacombs where the bodies of many martyred Christians were buried contained tombs with inscriptions such as these. And I want you to think about them. It doesn't have anything to do with hunting buffalo, by the way. In Christ, here are the inscriptions. In Christ, Alexander is not dead, but lives. There his body was in the catacomb, but they are saying he lives. Here's another one. One who lives with God. Here's another one. He was taken up into His eternal home. The early Christians, as well as modern Christians, believe that there is a hereafter. And it's called heaven. It's called eternity. And there's another place I'll talk about at some point called hell. One historian writes, "Pictures on the catacomb walls portray heaven with beautiful landscapes and children playing and people feasting at banquets." Now, just in case you don't know, the catacombs of the underground cemetery in Rome, Italy, where the first century Christian martyrs were buried. Not only were they buried there, this is where they hid during times of persecution. But you know, this perspective of a glorious eternity is kind of beginning to sound foreign in the world that we live in, and especially in America, as we become more secular. It's like, hey, did you know studies reveal that the average person is not taking time to think about eternity? You know why? Here I go again. As President Reagan used to say to his opposing party, there you go again, here I go again. People are so doggone busy, they don't even have time to think about what's beyond this life. I just can't help it. There's no glory in excessive busyness, and you can argue with me today about it if you want to. You're wrong. You might not be able to drive a new car if you slow down, and you might not be able to live in a big house and have a boat and ski jets and all that other stuff and motorcycles. You might not be able to have that, but you can slow down. Go ahead and argue with the Lord if you want to. I've been off for a few weeks, and there's some freshness in my heart, and I'm right, and you're potentially not hearing God like I am. It's a nice way to say it. It does sound foreign to us today. All this, man, this humanistic thinking. And I'm going to tell you this. Their beliefs were rooted in scriptures. And here's some where the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1. Christians, listen to this. In verse 21 and 23, he said this. To me to live is Christ. In other words, if you continue to live as a Christian, you're going to learn about Christ. You're going to grow in Christ. You're going to mature in Christ if you keep working at it and keep obeying God. To live is Christ. But listen to this. And to die is gain. You know, I think a lot about what it's going to be like to be in eternity. And I'm not wanting to experience that process in between now and when I enter into eternity. But I'm going to tell you, I believe what the Apostle Paul said, to die is gain. Now I realize if you're a new Christian or not even a Christian, I mean, that may make you want to bite your fingernails. But listen, I'll explain why there's no need to bite your fingernails in just a little bit. We just might as well accept the fact that to die is gain if we are in Christ. Now, if we are not in Christ, I don't have any good news for you. And one of the things God told me to do in these last 2 weeks, one of the words He gave me is says, go and preach the gospel unto the ends of the earth. And He said this, and then the end will come. I'm preaching the gospel of Christ to you today. I'm telling you that in Christ, to die is gain. If you've ever been to one of those funeral services where people do not know the Lord, and it's just not a very good experience, and people are mourning in a hopeless sense, it's no fun. We all mourn when people die. But when a believer dies, at least our mourning is this. We know that grief is going to lift one day, and that we're going to be reunited with them in Christ, because to die is gain. I hope you understand that. I hope you sense that. I hope this is helping you get your perspective on Christ and off the problems. Folks, listen. We all have problems. We all have challenges. And sometimes it's a whole lot bigger than a challenge and a trial. But there is a prize to be gained. In the middle of your boring work week, and where you're just doing the same thing, here we go again. Hey, there's a prize to be gained. It's called heaven. You know, the biggest challenge that we Christians have is just the mundane things of life. Got to get up and do it again. And it gets old at times. Got to get up and do it again. But I'll tell you what will help it is to realize at the end of your days, which are very brief, there is something to be gained. Oh, and if you're here or you're hearing me today by some other medium, I want you to know that Christ loves you. But man, I'm going to encourage you to surrender your heart to Christ if you haven't done that, so you can attain the prize. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. He said, as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. If you've walked very long with God and you have grown to know Him, there is a healthy longing to be with the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about, and I just feel this very strongly today. I'm not talking about going and taking yourself out prematurely through suicide or something like that and saying, hey, this life isn't worth it. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking to somebody right now. You know, I'll just go take my life and then I'll go on to heaven. Now, I caution you there. What right do you have to take your own life? And it does happen. Trust God with your circumstances. Trust Him with what's going on. Maybe He's not the author of them and probably isn't. Maybe it's just people. Maybe it's just life. But I want to tell you something. You're going to come through. I can tell you that. You are going to come through the trials. You are going to come through them, and you're going to come through them successfully and victoriously if you keep your eye on the prize, which is heaven. Come on, turn to somebody and say, hey, you're going to make it. Paul said this again. I want to read. He said, as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. He says this, we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And when I'm in the middle of a trial, it's like, God, can this be the day? Can this be the time, God, that you might just take me home? And you might even get a little cynical and say, why don't you, God? I'm ready. I'm tired of this stuff. And then when you come through that little phase, you say, whoo, God, I'm glad He didn't. Whoo, there's things that need to be done. You know, if I ever get in that mode, which I have over my life a few times, first thing I think about is my dear wife. And driving around in a convertible car, crying a little bit. She said, if I die, the first thing she's going to get is a convertible car. Because I won't give her one now. Okay, if you're new to our church, my wife and I have a lovely marriage. That wasn't a slang. We just have fun. And we have fun when we vacation. By the way, we did rent a convertible, which she loves convertibles. As we, oh, I got to tell you, let me just tell you, we had a good time. I tell you what, I always hesitate to say these things because I do not want people to think I'm bragging, but I'm bragging on God. We were granted, I got to say it, please forgive me, these exclusive tickets that cannot be purchased. I mean, we had, as the old saying has, we had a run of the grounds, wherever we wanted to go, whatever we wanted to do. But we also, the neatest thing, we were told these are like gold, we were given these special parking passes. If you've ever been to a big sporting event or to a NASCAR event, and this is kind of like one of our earthly prizes, and I don't know how I'm going to tie this back into the sermon, but I'll figure out how by God's help. This lady said, here, let me give you this pass. When we went to get these tickets to get everything straightened out, our credentials, she said, here, let me give you this pass. Well, little did we know. Listen, you can walk for hours at a NASCAR event to find a place to park. We literally are within 50 feet of the grandstands where if we choose, we get to walk up, right up, go up an elevator into our special little suite where we see everything in an air-conditioned, monitored place and eat all the food we wanted to. Now, that's an earthly prize. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I wouldn't trade any of those earthly prizes for the ultimate prize of spending eternity with God. If I never get to go to another one of these events, so be it. If I don't ever attain to a lot of the things that I want in this life, listen, I'm going to tell you what motivates me. It is ultimately the prize called heaven. And even when we're not as blessed, it's okay. This thing called life is going to be over before we know it. Now again, Jesus told His disciples, and I'm going to read John 14 again, verses 1 and 3 for a different reason. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself. And that where I am, there you may be also. Now, Jesus deliberately chose common physical terms to describe where He was going and what He was preparing for us. Beloved, God is preparing a home for every one of us. And I'm convinced that some of these myths that we have is, you know, it'll kind of be like living on a block where everybody's house is the same. I think everybody's house will be very unique and will be strictly designed the way we want it. And if you want a pet, there'll be a pet there. All you non-pet lovers, you'll be in the segment where there's no furry creatures. Those of you that love pets, you'll be where it's at, amen? And your house, you won't ever have to worry about allergies or any other problems. And I certainly need to keep on preaching because I could use a lot of time talking about these things. But you notice Jesus talks about rooms and He talks about a place. Folks, some of the pictures that we see about heaven are little fat angels. I don't know, we become little fat angels with wings and this little halo when we get there. And we're playing this boring little harp. Where did that nonsense come from? What you see on this earth, you will see in a perfected sense, which we can't really fully relate to. It won't ever be too hot. It won't be too cold. You won't have to worry about utility bills. You won't have to worry about anything. You won't have to worry about a cranky neighbor. You won't have to worry about sleeping in the same bed with your old grouchy husband if you don't want to. I'm telling you, you see how we have a limited ability to describe what heaven's going to be like. But what Jesus wanted to do and what He wants to do for us, He wanted to give them an idea of a tangible world that we're going to, an actual place where we're going to be with Him. Amen? And in fact, it's what we're suited for and what we have been designed for. It's a place like the one that God has made for us, with one exception. It will be perfect. There will be no imperfect things there. You know how it is? Life has a way of just problems come and they come and they come. It's like, do they ever end? Probably not on this side of heaven. But every day will be perfect. Amen? The sun will shine if you want it to shine. If you need cloud cover, the clouds will be there. Whatever you need. Do you need to see the stars? What do you need, a visit with God that day? Whatever you need will be in eternity in heaven, in this place where God is preparing for us. Oh, I say, I feel inadequate to try to describe heaven. But in my spirit, I know it's what Paul said. The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man all that God has for us. So next week, when things are going bad, or when they're not going the way you want them, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, or you want to have a pity party, say, hey man, I don't have time for this. Talk to yourself like David did. David talked to his soul. He said, soul, why are you cast down? Why are you, let me put it in terms, why are you depressed? Why are you feeling sorry for yourself today, soul? And yet I know that the problems we face are real. And in my limited way, all I'm trying to do is motivate us today to be heavenly minded. Amen? In fact, Bible talks a great deal about heaven, talks a great deal about where we're going to live. And one of the things the Bible says, the climax of history, it will be with the creation of new heavens and a new earth. And I'd love to teach you a little bit about that, but there's not time to go into it. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be new and it's going to be fresh. One of the words, this is what I like, when you do take a break and you come back, you can hear God very clearly. I heard God speaking to me the word fresh. 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 We need some freshness today. We need some freshness, and God knows that. We need a fresh word. We need a fresh motivation, a fresh unction from God. And I'm telling you, I believe God is going to pour it out on us throughout this series. But let me tell you what's going to happen to the earth and the heavens. They're going to be freshened. They're going to be made new. Here's what John said when he was on the Isle of Patmos, when he was having his vision or his revelation from God about how the end is going to pan out. He said, now I saw, in chapter 21, verse 1, he said, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. Here's what I like. Here's what motivates me. Here's what causes me to think about the prize frequently. God Himself, it says, will be with them, and He will be their God. Listen to verse 4. If you've ever lost a loved one or you've been involved in something that broke your heart, here is what you're going to experience in heaven, just the opposite. He says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. He says, there will be no more death. I'm so sick of having to bury people and be a part of services, even if they're a Christian. I'm looking forward to the day where we'll never experience death again. And I want to say to those of you, and please hear my heart today because you're on my heart. Those of you who have experienced divorce and a breakup of a marriage, we're not here pointing our finger, you are condemning you, but I want to tell you, I know the pain that is involved in that when a son or a daughter, maybe you thought was going to have this great thing going, and they got divorced. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time where you're not going to have any more tears. And it goes on to say, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Those of you that walk around and get up in the morning and say, Jesus, that preacher told me you healed, but working on this back. I'm tired of going to the chiropractor. No more pain. Whatever ails you, no more pain. You need to turn to somebody. You need to just preach that to them a little. No more pain. And here's the reason why the former things have passed away. Sounds like the kind of place that I want to go to. The eternal vacation. Hallelujah. You like beaches? There'll be beaches in heaven. You like fishing on a lake? I don't know how it's going to work. I have a feeling God is going to fulfill that need to go fishing. Amen? I don't think NASCAR will be there. You never know, it might be. But God will, if you will, scratch that itch. See, you start talking about heaven, you start talking about eternity. What words do you use? Sounds like the kind of place that I want to be. I'm after the prize. There is a big problem. And it's our terminal disease. As human beings, we have a terminal disease called mortality. Great. Pastor, I was feeling great. Now you're going to talk about this mortality thing. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I am. Because at the current rate, and this mortality thing, this terminal disease we have, the current rate is 100% of every human being born on the face of the earth will die. Whew. Do you think not talking about it is going to make it any better? Do you forget what I read earlier? To die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And I know, and I said it earlier, our biggest fear is not so much the dying, it's the mystery of not knowing how we're going to die. Well, don't worry. God's grace will be sufficient in that phase of your life too. He doesn't just bail out and say, now suffer, man. Trust Him for that too. Yep, there's a problem. And I know that we don't like to think about death, but we need to. Because worldwide, and let me just say these numbers, which really are not just numbers, they represent human beings, eternal souls that will never die. Folks, when you're born on the earth, you will never die. Your soul will never die. I don't care what the humanists are telling you. I don't care what the other religions are saying, and I don't mean to be harsh. I choose to believe Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and who cannot tell a lie. When I die, I'm going somewhere, and so are you. So the current rate of death is 100%. Now, unless Christ returns, of course, we're all going to die. We don't like to think about it. But these numbers that I'm going to give you was when there were 6 billion people on there. I think we're now at about 7 billion people. We've had a rapid population explosion in the last few years. Listen to this. 3 people die every second. 1,001, 3 people just died. 1,002, 3 people just died. Just died. Just died. Come on, America. Wake up. Come on, church. Wake up. People are dying. I'm just trying to motivate you. I'm not trying to condemn you. Because I keep talking. People are dying. People are dying right now. Because we have a terminal disease. 180 people die every minute. Before I get through with this point, 180 people will die. Nearly 11,000 every hour. Now, if the Bible's right about what happens to us after death, it means that more than 250,000 people every day die. And if you believe what this Bible says and you believe what this preacher says, they die and go into eternity. Some into heaven and some into hell. And a lot of people are going to hell because they don't have time for God. You know, I don't think I've become cynical. I really don't. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to beg people to serve God. I'm not going to beg Christians to serve God. Because I believe there's too many hurting people that do want God and that have a need. I'm tired of begging people. But I'm going in search, as God said, to preach the gospel to every creature, wherever people will listen and wherever they'll hear the gospel. That's where I want to go. 250,000. David said this in Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5. And this should be a motivation to us. Because David, let me tell you, when you read David, David just poured his heart out. I love David. Psalms 39, verses 4 through 5 said, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Tomorrow, when you get up and you are tempted to get in the rat race in a non-spiritual way, and you are tempted to just start handling life on your own without God's help and God's provision, do what David did. So, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. Folks, I'm sorry. When God says... This didn't sound very spiritual to some people because they believe they've stepped in the role of God and, you know, declaring how long they're going to live. When God says your time is up, it's up. When God says you're going to die, you're going to die. See, that kind of takes away that macho spirit of, you don't need God. You wait until the doctor gives you a report you don't want. Boy, it's amazing to me how people will take your prayers then. And then if you don't come and give them the prayer, you might have seen them in a year or a month or so. They didn't need God and didn't need the church. Boy, it's amazing to me. Then if you don't come, that preacher didn't even come and pray for me. Now I'm offended. Well, you better get over your offense because you're about to meet God. Our days are numbered. David said, how fleeting my life is. Verse 5 says, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath. You ever gone out on a cold, frosty morning and stepped out of your warm home and or your car and all of a sudden you breathe this vapor of air and then it was gone? Now don't get depressed. Some of you are, now you're getting all serious. And I guess that's good in one sense. But that's how your life is. Some of you are going to think about this Monday morning when you get in that car and want to just drive off like a crazy man. We don't need to help ourselves get there either, by the way. It's not wise to drive down the road at 80 miles an hour texting. Hello? There's nothing wise about it. Don't hurry this thing up. See, I'm trying to get us out of that crazy mode, that driven mode, that slavery mode of, man, I got to go or I'm going to die. No, you're not. God's going to take care of you. Now, some of you, if you're really cynical, you're arguing with me. Just that preacher talking, bro, I tell you, he just doesn't understand my life. Well, I think I do. I'm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit right now. I think God does. And it's a word to all of us. You see, the wise will consider what the Bible has to say and will consider what preachers are saying about eternity. And they'll consider their life and they'll evaluate their lives. And I'm sure some of you are doing that. And some of you are sitting here thinking, thank God one day it'll be over. But here's the reality of all. Most people are living unprepared for eternity. That's the reality. It's the reason they don't, you can witness to your friends. What's a witness? You're just fanatical. Go on, man. People are not wise, they're not listening. There are unwise Christians right now. Listen, I don't mean to come back. I believe in vacations. I believe in taking some time. But I'm going to tell you, you derelict Christians that don't think you don't need a preacher and you don't need a church, you have been deceived somewhere along the way to think you can live a disconnected life and everything is just going to be just rosy with you. I'm tired of those kind of Christians too. Because I think they're defaming the name of God. I'm a Christian. I am a Bible-carrying person. But I don't have to go to church. Where are you going on Sunday? To the party? Don't send me away on a vacation anymore. No, really, I'm telling you, this is real. And I want you to go out here with the joy of the Lord about eternity. But I'm going to tell you, we were on this trip, and we were in a few occasions. I looked around, and I said, baby, our world has changed. So this is what they're doing on Sunday morning when they're not in church. This is it. Does the preacher good to go and hang out where the people are not going to church to see what's really going on? It puts a little fire in you. Hello, everybody. I'm talking about the ultimate prize. You becoming a CEO of some company one day is not the prize. And I'm telling you, if we will learn to go for the prize, God will see to it that we are where we need to be. Just so much discontentment. If I were here, if I were there, that is really not the issue. Preachers all over the country, if I were just this, if I were doing this, if. And God says, calm down. Be content with what you have. He does know what He's doing with our lives. And then the devil comes when we decide to slow down and adhere to these things and say, if you were somebody, you'd be making a lot more money, or you'd be the head of a company, or you'd be this or that. Well, the devil's a liar, folks. But I'm talking about the prize today. And you know what? I want everybody to be in on the prize. Now, here's the reality. I want you to be ready. And I want to just talk to you from my heart for just a moment. By the way, we're talking to people around the world right now through the internet and through other means. And this is for you as well. Lord, give me the words to say. It's not anything that you would strive for that is worth giving up the prize for. There's nothing worth it. And we live with this longing heart. And it's always, if I had this. Folks, listen to me. Stop saying, if I had, and start giving praise to God for what you do have. If you've got a roof over your head, Paul said with this, rejoice. If you have clothing and all of you are well dressed here this morning, rejoice and be grateful. I'm afraid someone's going to hear this message, and I'm just concerned because it keeps coming to my heart. They're going to leave here with that same attitude that they had when they came in. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the word says. Life has been too tough on me. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to somebody. Somebody is in a situation here. You need to get out of that funk because it's in your head and it's not reality. You are blessed if you will just recognize your blessing and you'll stand up and give God praise instead of getting up and saying bad things and cursing the day. You are opening yourself up to demonic spirits with that attitude. And I mean, this is not even appropriate to say, but it's like the Lord saying, it's a funky attitude. It stinks. It's funky. It's rancid. God doesn't ever bless me. What, He can't get close to you, sister? You won't let Him. Your life is so bad in your mind. Here's what I want to know. Are you ready for the prize? Are you ready? Now, I didn't ask you if you rationalize something. Do you know that you are born of God's Spirit? If you cannot say that you know that you are born of God's Spirit, then I challenge you to make it right with God. Well, I walked an aisle one time in the Baptist church and someone prayed with me and I signed a card. I didn't ask you if you signed a card. Because that card on earth that we keep in our files has nothing to do with the Lamb's Book of Life that's in heaven. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, I don't know. You better know. You need to know. Now. Let's stand this morning. Well, I know my grandma said I was going to heaven. Folks, we do not inherit salvation. Salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And Him alone, Paul said, or in the book of Acts, it's stated, there's no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved. I'm sorry, folks. Buddha will not save. Staring into a crystal and meditating, or getting out in the woods and meditating on nature, will not get you to heaven. You know, some people believe that if I'm just good enough and I do enough good things, then I'll get in heaven. Folks, I'm telling you, on your best day, I don't want to be rough. I don't want to say things I shouldn't, but I'm going to tell you, on your best day, according to scriptures, I'll just say it real nicely, you ain't much. When it's compared to the supreme creator of the universe and the one who created you, on your best day, you're probably still, forgive me, you're still a liar. You're still trying to deceive yourself or deceive somebody or manipulate somebody, or you've had anger during the day. On your worst day, or on your best day, you're not much. Well, thanks for the hope, preacher. I've been working hard. I'm working hard. I'm doing this. I'm trying not to do this and trying not to do that. Try not to lie. Not... That's good. But just make sure you do it under the power of the Holy Spirit, and then it'll count for something. Otherwise, it's works. Giving to Red Cross and giving blood and voting and being whatever political party you think ain't going to get you in heaven. There's one way you go to heaven. Cry out on the mercy of God. You believe what this precious book says, that Jesus came to the earth to save sinners. Paul said, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, of whom I am chief among all. The writer of the New Testament, 2/3 of it, says, I am the chief of sinners. Come on, it's time to come clean. Living in a world that's justifying everything. Well, it's okay to do this. Someone told me, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, you got to just work this out. No, you better know what this book says. I don't care, sir, what your feeling says. And I don't care what your conversation with God is. If it doesn't line up with this book, it's of no value. Are you ready for the prize? Are you ready for the prize? You get ready for the prize by believing this one thing, that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, and that He came to this earth to die for you and I, the perfect person and human God that has ever come and been in the universe, came, in fact, the Creator of all, came and He died on a cross for you and for me, and to take all of our sins. On your best day, you're not very good, folks. Neither am I. But Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Do you believe that He came to this earth? Do you believe the account of the Bible? Do you believe that He died and that He rose 3 days later under the unction of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that? Do you believe it was for you? Do you believe it was for your family? If you do, then you do the next thing. You confess Him as Lord. That's what Romans says. You believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you then confess Him as Lord of all. Why don't we do that this morning? Why don't we just confess Jesus as Lord? Those of you who know that you are secure in your salvation, why don't you just confess Jesus as Lord this morning? And let's believe God this morning. Do you believe? I want us all to pray together this morning. Come on. If you're a believer and you've been a believer for years, and really this message did nothing more than encourage you about what you already know, I want everybody praying. Because we want to encourage the people next to us. I believe in altar calls, folks. And I believe there's a time for that. But I believe right now it's between you and God. It's between you and God. You and your Maker. In fact, unless God says to, I'm not calling you forward for salvation, but we're all going to pray. And I believe there's some people going to be born again today. And I cannot get away from this. Whoever you are that's been pity partying, the problem could be that you believe you've been a Christian all your days, and that you're not. And that's the reason the struggle has been so immense. All I know, and I don't know how to put it in words, there's somebody here. You just think you've got the rawest deal in life. I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom to you. You can accept it, or you can reject it. You can be born of God's Spirit today if you choose. And so I'm going to ask us all, in reverence of God, let's bow our heads. And I want those of you who are solid in your faith, I want to hear this room resound with the words of salvation. I want us to pray as loudly as we've ever prayed in this place of worship today. And I want you to repeat after me, if you would, young and old alike this morning. And let's believe what the Scripture says. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you're ready to confess Him, you are going to be born again. Your sins are going to be washed away, to be remembered by God no more. Your slate is clean, and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life at this very moment. Let's give God praise for that. Come on, you can give God a better praise than that. Now let's pray like we mean it. Dear God, in Jesus' name, I come without excuses. I come in need of a Savior. Jesus, save my soul and cleanse me of all sin and all unrighteousness. I declare I am your child, and I declare I will follow you from this day forward. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. I declare I'm changed. I declare I am a new creation. I am now your servant. I will obey you. and I will follow you from this day forward. Come on, let's declare it real loud. In Jesus' name. Now, come on, better than that. In Jesus' name. One more time, let me hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, let's give Him a praise. Now let's give Him a big praise. Ooh, you ought to turn to somebody and say, I'm born again. Come on, tell them. I'm born again. I'm born again, born of the Spirit. Amen. As one preacher said, I'm born again. You can be seated.